Jehovah Witnesses, Right or Wrong, Part 7. Life after death, new birth, and salvation. We come now to our final session regarding Jehovah Witnesses, comparing and contrasting their beliefs with what the Bible teaches. Yes, we've covered a lot of ground in the first 6 lessons, but now we come to the finale. Is there life after death? Is there a hell? Is there really a heaven? How many go to heaven? Is it only 144,000, as Jehovah Witnesses teach, will enter heaven? Does every person need to be born again to have eternal life? Yes, a lot of questions. So what are the answers? We shall listen to the Jehovah Witnesses and also see what the Bible has to say about these important matters. We start with the new birth. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3, we read, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus was talking to a religious man, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I imagine, thought that he was saved because he was a Pharisee. But Jesus was saying you need an inward experience, an experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jehovah Witnesses say it is only Christ and his 144,000 body members who are born again. That is, spirit begotten with the hope of heaven. Revelation chapter 14 does speak of 144,000 around the throne in heaven, a future picture, and Jehovah Witnesses say that they alone are the born again believers. And they are the special Jehovah Witnesses of a special kind. Those Jehovah Witnesses who have lived ultra-clean lives and have never strayed. They alone are born again. They earn their salvation in heaven through their being pure and undefiled. They qualify for heaven, but all other Jehovah Witnesses will only inherit the new earth, because they belong to the Jehovah Witness movement and are active in door-to-door visitation. That's what they're told. Now, directly, we find conflict with what the Bible teaches about this matter. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 makes it very clear. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is a gift for any and all who will come to God through repentance and faith. They will be saved and enjoy eternal life with God in heaven. There is absolutely no distinction in the Bible between born-again believers and non-born-again believers. Note this, all who believe are born again unto a lively hope. We find that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Even more importantly, we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So, what is the essential thing in salvation? 1 John chapter 5 verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Born again can be translated born from above or born of God. It is something of an inward nature that changes a person completely from an unbeliever to a lover of Jesus Christ, who is Saviour, Lord and King. He or she becomes a brand new person on the inside. So then, how big is heaven? We've been told that only 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses are going to be there. Is it only big enough for 144,000? How many believers will enter heaven? In Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 6 there is reference to 144,000, but they're all Jews. So if you take the figure 144,000 literally, then you have to take the 12 tribes mentioned there also, comprising of 12,000 Jews from 12 tribes. But look further to verse 9 of Revelation 7, and you will notice that it's not just 144,000 who were gathered there in heaven, but such a great number of others, are they the Gentiles? Who come from every nation on the face of this earth, all are found worshipping the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. He saved them, he delivered them, and he brought them safe home to heaven to enjoy him for eternity. What did we read in John chapter 3 and verse 3? Unless a man is born again, he cannot either see or enter into the kingdom of God, whoever he is. That is, he has to be born spiritually by the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. And this great event takes place in every person who believes. You cannot tell a person they'll be safe in the coming kingdom by becoming a Jehovah Witness and being a dedicated door-to-door worker. Secondly, Jehovah Witnesses do not believe in hell. They say it's unscriptural, unreasonable, contrary to God's love, repugnant to justice. And that comes from a booklet of theirs called Let God Be True, page 9. At death, Jehovah Witnesses teach that a person goes into non-existence and will be annihilated if they are not a Jehovah Witness. But what does the Bible say about hell? Jesus himself taught the doctrine of hell in Mark chapter 9, verses 42 to 49. But in verse 43, he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And twice more, Jesus uses the word Gehenna for hell. Hell is a place that goes on forever. To refuse Jesus Christ as your Saviour, when you have had opportunity to receive him into your heart and life, is the worst sin of all. In Matthew 25:46, it speaks of eternal punishment and eternal life in the same context. Eternal punishment lasts as long as eternal life. Note Jesus' words concerning unbelievers and hypocrites. And these will go into eternal punishment. But the righteous, that is, declared righteous through Jesus' perfect life and sacrifice, will enter into eternal life. May I encourage you to look in your Bible the following references to see what God has to say about life after death. In Luke 20, verses 37 to 38, he is not God of the dead, but of the living. And then in Luke 16, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, there's further proof of life after death, even of conscious agony while Lazarus is enjoying the comforts of heaven. Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration long after they departed from this world. Yes, there is life after death. Luke 9, verse 30. Paul speaks of dying as gain in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24. So, finally, what does the Bible say about salvation? Christ's death is the only ground of our salvation. Now he, Jesus, has appeared to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, Hebrews 9:26. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again for our justification. Salvation cannot be earned as a reward. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, Titus 3 verse 5, Romans 6:23. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9. We are saved by faith alone. He who believes has eternal life, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith alone, apart from the works of the law. John 3:16, John 6:37, John 20 verse 21, Romans 3 verse 28. My purpose throughout these studies has been only to declare what God says about these important and urgent matters. Many have been heading in the wrong direction and need to change direction. That's what repentance is all about. A changing of one's mind, affecting a change in direction. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. There's a wonderful offer from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest, even rest unto your souls. May God have spoken through his spoken word. The gospel is a life-changing event, and if you are open to listen to God and follow him, not a person, not an organization, but simply come to the scriptures and have God speak to you directly from his holy word, his living, active word. May God take the scales from your eyes and impart spiritual life to you, the listener and reader, and impart the work of his Holy Spirit in you. And as a result, may you know refreshing times from the presence of the Lord beginning in your life today. May the living Jesus Christ become a wonderful, marvelous, living reality to you from now on.